If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the patrol. Foes that want to make sure my clothes. Rap critics save money, cash. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you grew up with homes,
welcome back to RBKD. Way back Rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day. My man Patrick doing a great job. Last segment, it was Loonies. I got five on it. Now you got Jay-Z. Hove! Nah, can't disagree with that.
No.
Damn good job so far on a way back reference day, old school hip hop hump day. You can cyber stalk my man Patrick via Twitter at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn at Kevin Dunn 01 in the Twitterverse. All right. The name, image, and likeness movement has hit college sports like a category 5 force of nature.
No joke.
And the truth is, it will change college sports forever. I mean, it's basically going to destroy amateurism as we know it, and they will be forced to rebuild it in a different way going forward. But it is something that Texas is right now trying to take advantage of and be at the cutting edge of name, image, and likeness, revenue, creativity, and activity and revenue, if you will. So I think right now, based on the two announcements that were made by the Clark Field Collective and the Horns with Heart. The Horns with Heart actually specifically with a program to target offensive linemen, which is no coincidence. Texas only two offensive linemen committed in the 2022 class. And yet this week, right before signing day, it was announced that, hey, every lineman that comes to Texas that signs a scholarship will get at least $50,000, but could get upwards of $150,000,
yeah,
depending on how good you are. So base salary, essentially. But it is connected. I want to live, it is connected to a charitable entity
it
so
is.
That they can use their platform for charitable causes that are close to their hearts. So I want to throw that out there. But, yes, it basically is a salary for the guys. $50,000, no, man.
$50,000.
Why the hell did Rafidi Gurmai leave? He left. Hold up. They just announced they're going to pay you $50,000.
He wants to go get his grad degree somewhere.
What the?
Because he cares about education.
It was his grad transfer. Why not stay here and work on the grad degree and get paid $50,000 to do it?
Well, that's a better idea.
What?
And I mean, not play. You know you're not going to play.
I
couldn't play for this team.
I don't want to knock
the
young man.
I think he also wants to play. He's put that in his tweet, too.
You've been here 4 years.
You're preaching to the choir, brother.
Appeared in 13 games, man. I mean, I know you want to play. I get it, bro. Trust me. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. I was a jabroni in the league. I wanted to play, but you know, hey, get that cash. Collect them checks right there, man.
Mm-hmm.
$50,000. What if you go into the transfer report and you play one more year for, I don't know, where is it going to go? New Mexico State. Okay, wherever.
That'd
it is.
Be the type of spot. Yeah.
Okay. They're not going to pay you 50 G's.
No.
Come on, man.
No, they may not. Probably going to pay you $500.
You should have stayed here and just collected that nice check and tried to get another year.
Right.
Try to get to 100.
Which is also one of the problems that Texas schools are going to have, Rod, is that if you do have someone who's there, you're going to have those real hard conversations about, hey, you know, we noticed that limp. We think it's time to medically retire or get the hell out of here.
Because
you're making 150 and you're playing like you should be making 200.
It's not connected to the university, though. Like they technically, this is the separation of church and state. Like this, these name, image, and likeness deals,
right? Which isn't always separated. So that's kind of what I'm thinking with this.
That's what I said. Though,
ideally, you set it up right. Ideally,
yes. Trust me, you're correct. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm saying the intention. And the road to hell is paved.
Yeah, with a lot of good
with a lot
ones.
Of that. But that the intention is that they are separate, you know, and that basically through compliance is how they kind of meet up. Compliance is the one in the middle, the intermediary that is making sure that everybody operates within the name, image, and likeness law, which is a state law now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, I agree with you. There will be a lot of pressure for a guy making 150 Gs and he's underperforming. And it's like, can we get this? Can we get another guy in here? I can do the job.
When I first started doing radio, I understood why some players should be paid, but I figured with Title IX that they were going to have to pay everyone the same, and that it was just fiscally impossible to get this done. Now, this was, I'm talking 15, 20 years ago, right?
Yes.
And there were people that would call and say, oh, you know, it's not fair, which I understood that. But when I said that it's going to create, and I think a lot of people understood this and felt this way, it was going to create a slippery slope, and that it was going to it was going to be too hard to police. And some people said, no, that's not the case. If you were one of those people, you were wrong, and we knew that at the time. Now, if you say...
Some people said it wouldn't be a Pandora's box?
Or that we were over-exaggerating, that it wouldn't turn into this, that there would be ways to police it, and it's turned into this pretty quickly. Yeah. That was also a decade ago. As I've been doing this and trying to evolve, I've just thought, you know what, it's too ridiculous right now. I also didn't want college football to go down the path of college basketball, where college basketball turns into what it did because they're like, look, this is unfair. You should be paying these guys. And if they can go make money, they're going to go make money. And it's created a problem for college basketball, right? Yeah. It's still a fun product, but it's nowhere near the product it was. NFL's a little different because not all these guys can go play right away in the NFL. They can't in the NBA either, but they can't go play in the NFL. There is no minor league team, so the minor league system is college football. Getting ahead of that, Rod, I like. And I also think, just looking at it morally, these guys are making so much money, they should be bringing in a ton of money. But this is opening up where we talk about competitive advantage, and I get on college baseball all the time where you've got private schools that have 27 scholarships and state schools that only had 11.7. Look, I'm not about equity. I'm about equality. And, right? Yeah. Give a fair playing field and let's see where the chips fall. That's where hard work and good coaching and obviously a lot of talent will come into play. But the a lot of talent part is completely different. It's also why I've bitched about the SEC for a long time, because I know what they were doing under the table, and it's not talked about a lot. So at least we're getting this above board. It's been going on forever to some degree.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And some people are upset. You know, Darren Rivera wrote a piece that and mentioned Texas in the piece that essentially the
I like horns, your response to that.
The horns with heart. Yeah. I mean, the horns with heart pancake factory initiative essentially is a legal slush fund.
He's not totally wrong.
Something to that regard. Yeah. I mean, I heard Jeff Ward on with Trey and Chad on Shirts and Skins, and he said something very similar. And I'm not disagreeing with their description of it, but it's not like it is something that's against the rules or something that is, since it's state's law, is now illegal. You know, and to the point that you brought up, right, that you knew the slippery slope into Pandora's box. And I put out a quote from Eric Hoffer earlier today from The Temper of Our Time. Every great cause begins as a movement, becomes a business, and eventually degenerates into a racket. That essentially is the nature of capitalism. I mean, it say what you want, but it is.
Yeah.
But we're going to make money on everything. I mean,
we're going to monetize it, man.
That's just the way it is.
What do I always say about movements? And you know, I've been into movements for a long time.
This is a movement. This has been a movement. The movement
always
was,
have an end date.
Exactly right. But there is no end date.
Or, this is when we've succeeded and we're done.
Yeah. And you know, for the movement for I think against the NCAA was to expose the NCAA basically for exploiting what they student athletes for cheap labor under the veil of amateurism. Right. That was everybody wanted to expose that. Ed O'Bannon recently. What was the Alston case? Versus the NCAA Supreme Court. So now I think that is now the celebration that is happening, is that now, yes, the NCAA is exposed. And these essentially are reparations for that the kids are getting now through boosters and donors using NIL to just infuse money into the market.
Reparations would be if you got money.
And they did. These guys
are now getting it. It's just good timing.
The EA Sports thing, they got, right?
They got reparations on that.
All the way back to 2003. I missed out because I graduated in 2002.
Dude, your timing,
so
you've got
barely
screwed on all this.
Terrible timing.
No, Patrick, he's not kidding.
No,
they
I went
back to 2003.
Literally, and I graduated in 2002. So everybody who basically played college football 2003 and since got a check from EA Sports. But all of us old. I was too old. Basically, I was too old.
Right. You're too old.
Too old. But no, but we see this, though, right? We see this when there is, when you have this, right, this essentially this prohibition, if you will, basically, of any commodity or any service, whether it be alcohol, whether it be marijuana, all right? Now you're talking about legalized gambling. As soon as that prohibition is lifted in some way, there is just an infusion of cash, mm-hmm. a ton of it. Most of it was already out there. It was just, as you went under the table.
Just like prohibition.
And now it just comes on the table. Right. But And just as we've talked about, just because it's now over the table, hey, they're still selling illegal weed in Colorado where it's legal.
Right.
All right, it's still happening, and it's still gonna happen. And
there are still probably speakeasies.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So yeah. So my thing is, you can expect it. It was inevitable. It was gonna happen. This is the NCAA's fault, because if they would have acted in a responsible manner and done their damn job, this would have been a slow progression.
Or you could have had guardrails.
Or they put piecemeal it, right?
And it would have been state to state.
Oversight of it, yes. And there would have been more unanimity in the rules and the laws. And you wouldn't have the schools essentially writing their own law.
Yep.
That's what happened. The top two schools in every state, you want to know what happened? They wrote the NIL laws.
Except for Alabama.
Well, because they already had one?
No, because their state is so strict with their legislation. So they wouldn't let the Crimson Tide come in. I'm kidding. I mean, Alabama and Auburn that was the only question. If those two could agree, it's like, hey, let's go rob banks.
Yeah.
Different banks, and we hate each other. If we see each other, we're going to kill each other. But let's allow ourselves to rob banks.
Exactly, right? I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, that's just kind of how legislation works at times, right? So I think
it's like two animals feeding together or feeding in the same area, but would kill each other if they cross each other's paths.
But like you said, that's the NCAA's fault, man.
Because
if they would have done this the right way, there could have been oversight, there could have been guardrails, protections put in place, checks and balances against all of these fraudulent, corruptive activities. But because they didn't, now it's the Wild Wild West. And by the way, the NCAA wants this. I had a friend who's close to the NCAA and said, this is what they want, because
I told you so.
They want,
that's
essentially,
what they want.
Yes.
That's
they,
what
want,
they want.
Basically, they want to be like,
I told you
they
so.
They want this thing to get as wild as possible.
Which is nothing better than someone watching a house burn and saying, I told you
that's
so.
That's basically
can
what they want.
Can we do this after
happen.
The fact?
Yeah. And essentially, it's gonna get really wild, creative, because capitalism works that way. And at one point, Uncle Sam's gonna step in and go, all right, let's get a federal legislation of name, image, and like I said, everybody's got to adhere to, because there's a lot of money that's just exchanging hands, and we don't really know where it's going, and I want my piece.
So you know celebrities, when they put on golf tournaments, and a lot of times it's good stuff, right? I mean, you can have winners mm-hmm. on all sides.
Yep.
They use the 501C3. Right. And so they do that because it makes it a little bit more affordable for them, and there are some corners they can cut, but it still goes for charity, right? It still goes to charity. So this has been used by people with money for a long time to maybe set things up that are also beneficial for them.
Yeah. Totally agree.
I just love the fact that the NCAA still thinks that people are going to be on their side when it all goes crazy. Thinking like, oh, once they do this, they'll want us to keep all the money again.
No,
NCAA.
Yeah. No.
You screwed up. You could have fixed it the way it would have been still beneficial to you.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've just opened up to where everyone's like, yeah, screw you guys too. We never liked you.
Yeah.
But we don't like this either, but we like them more than you.
Yes, exactly.
We
right.
realize we need security.
They're not going to get any power back.
No, because they want it. You can tell. We all saw that they want it to happen. But I don't think the end result is what they think the end result's going to be.
Oh, I totally agree. And that's usually the case with them.
You.
Yeah, it's like, look, we need to hire new security. Well, we were your old security guard. We told you. It's like, we're not hiring you.
Yeah, no.
Just because we know we need to go in a different direction didn't mean we're going to go back to the NCAA. You guys are exactly right. They set this up to be where it is. And so I kind of gave you at least my movement in this as life has gone on. I'm like, yeah, we got to find a way to do it. This was probably not the way to do it. It was just too wide open.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious kind of where it goes from here. But you want to talk about competitive advantage. And this is, guys, this is different. Now, I will also say, don't be naive and don't be a rube and not think that certain programs have been doing this and more under the table with no Uncle Sam.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no,
it's not like this is completely new in terms of building rosters.
Yeah, and I know Texas is in, you know, they're right now on the cutting edge of name, image, and likeness with some of the programs that you know, the boosters and the donors are setting up, because that's what's happening. It's the boosters and the donors kind of setting this up. The University of Texas can't. They're probably being encouraged to, hint, hint, by the university to set this stuff up. But Horns with Heart and the Clarkfield Collective, they work as kind of a separate arm of the university. But everybody now is going to start setting those models up. I mean, it's going to be a copycat league, right, for the most part. Every big time university is going to have that arm of basically boosters and donors working with these kind of shell companies, really, shell corporations, shell organizations set up essentially to funnel money to the team and to the roster somehow. Yes, it could have a charitable arm. Nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, of course, they're just kind of shell companies.
Yes, shell company. You need a couple breaks in terms of what you're actually spending, yeah, if you're creating that with the 501c3. So there are some reasons why why it's set up the way it is. But right now it is above board. It is legal. The reaction, not only the Darren Rovells, it does seem to be there's a lot of people and a lot of purists, but even people that I wouldn't even consider purist, people that have just thought, man, this has gone too far. I wanted to pay the players. I didn't think it was going to turn into this, though. Where are you on this?
I mean, it's of course. I mean, I totally agree. People say they didn't want it to turn into this. I thought this was inevitable. I thought this was exactly.
Well, once they did it, it was going to happen.
Yeah, I thought this was exactly the way it was going to go because the NCAA, they failed and they were derelict essentially in their duties. They decided to. This is arguably one of the biggest decisions and the biggest movements, if you will, for name, image, and likeness that's happened to them in the last, 50, 60 years. And they decided to go, Yeah, hands off. We're out. We're out on name, image, and likeness. You guys decided for yourselves. Whatever you want to do is fine. State to state, you guys decide. And it's like, so what is your purpose then, NCAA?
Right.
So because when they failed on that, I knew Wild Wild West is coming. So in terms of what I think about it, I knew it was coming. And I'm not saying I like it. It needs guardrails. It definitely needs some oversight. But Uncle Sam has got bigger fish to fry. So we're not going to get that until Uncle Sam decides to go, all right, you know what? I'm going to address name, image, and likeness. We got federal legislation on this damn thing, and we're going to write up a law.
Or Congress.
Congress is going to write up Congress. That's what I mean by Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, for those who don't get it, sorry.
Yeah.
No,
because the IRS could be involved too.
I'm just saying federal legislation is going to be needed, and you don't really have that right now. And that's not going to happen for a while. I don't think Congress cares really about name, image, and likeness right now.
No.
Way too much other stuff happening.
They've got other stuff going on, and it's probably not going to be at the top.
And the states don't want it. Because
the states want
their university to actually take advantage of these very lax rules that were essentially written by the universities themselves. They don't want this stuff to happen.
I'm usually state-to-state guy, and I'm for that, you know, to some degree. And states maybe having different legislation and essentially different takes on things. You can move to that state. You can move out of that state. With this, there needs to be some uniformed rule and as you said, guardrails set up for this, and that's not the case right now. Mm-hmm. And look, Texas is benefiting. I mean, I'll get into it a little bit in one and done. I knew this would be a fun conversation because it's a big conversation, and we pull back the lens a little bit. But I'm curious with you, just as a college football player, how much of this is jealousy, Rod, and how much of this is you just want to get it right?
Mm.
I'm kidding. You texted that this morning.
I'm not mad about this at all. Like I think it's great. Yeah, but I am jealous because I wish it had been me getting straight cash, homie, through name, image, and likeness. Because I was good enough, I'd have got some change. I don't know how much, but I got a little chunk of change. But no, I'm happy for the guys. It's good, man. It's good. It's something that needed to happen. But like I said, I wish the NCAA would have acted more progressively. If they would have, we wouldn't be here. And now, yeah, I mean, there is really, I don't know if there is any in the foreseeable future of the type of, I don't say corruption, but the type of a creative name, image, and likeness.
Creative maneuvers.
Yeah, creative manipulation of name, image, and likeness, right? So I don't know if you're going
to
see that stop anytime soon. And Texas, by the way, is as good as anybody in that creative manipulation of name, image, and likeness.
I was worried. We talked about it on this show. I was worried that Texas was going to be too late to the party and not go heavy enough. You can maybe argue they're late to the party, although the party's just getting going. They're not coming in light, though, with these two. I mean, these are game changers. And I've talked to people nationally that have kind of looked at me and said, Well, what happened to Texas ethics? Well, it's ethical if it's above board, right?
Yeah. Hey, we weren't cheating before, you know.
Quote, unquote.
Quote, unquote. We weren't cheating.
Not at the level of some of the schools.
No, no. And I'll tell you, I think we'll get the federal rule when the Pac-12 starts to put more money into it and the Northeast, like the Big Ten and all those places, than the SEC.
That's a good point.
And then we'll hear the representative from Alabama has put forth a bill.
Right.
That we need to regulate this now because these bigger cities are starting to get too much money put into this. And then once then the South will come in and go, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. California can't be getting more money than us.
Right.
So we need to level this out somewhere.
Yeah, Lincoln
but
Raleigh.
I think that'll do it. But
yeah.
Texas right now has the best of all the worlds because we have the old school Southern people that are going to put money into it. And we have all the tech people moving here that are going to put money into it. So Texas right now feels pretty good.
Yeah. Look, there were Texas donors that had serious money that had been wanting to do this for a long time, but they weren't going to go over the top. As Texas cheated and paid people, of course they have. But just from my knowledge and talking to coaches that have been all over the country, that it's not at the flagrant level, or at least hasn't been for majority of the time, as some of those other schools. This allowed the alums just to put it out there, Rod.
Yeah, it's an arms race now, and now the alums, they can flex their muscle. This is essentially what the boosters and the donors have wanted the entire time for the last 100 years. Like, this is what they wanted. All they got to do is just be creative in the way they manipulate the name, image, and likeness law, and you can use as much money as you want to be able to support your team. So in Texas, as Patrick mentioned, I mean, they could Austin, Texas, the University of Texas at Austin could be the name, image, and likeness capital of college sports. It has that kind of potential, along with places like, you know, USC and Miami, places like that.
You know who could, and, but I don't know if they're going to do it.
It's like, places like that.
Who's got national alums in every state with and a lot of money?
Talk about Notre Dame there?
Yes, but yeah, I'm not sure Notre Dame is going to go to this level. I hope they do.
That's a great point.
While they can, too, because that's the other thing. At some point, and it's probably going to be, like Patrick said, someone's going to get their ass kicked, or too many teams are going to get their ass kicked by too few teams, and we'll get back to the parity discussion, which I brought up every time we talk about the lack of parity in college football. We got some this year. I think some of that is cyclical with quarterbacks that a lot of that's underground money.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is just above board money. Yeah. It's still going to be the same result, though.
Yeah,
exactly. It's still going to end up being the same. But yeah, I think when you go, it's above board, you're going to get a lot more of the high-scale donors as opposed to the guys. Like, you know, in the government, there was always the Koch brothers, and no one ever saw them or did they, but they donate all this stuff. That was all the people that were donating to the, you know, the under the table money.
Right.
But now you can go ahead and get all the ex players and everybody else who goes, oh no, now I get my name in the paper because I'm doing this. Oh, I get publicity. Oh, my company can be part of this. Oh, we're getting free advertising now. That's the way they do it.
Yeah.
I think that'll grow it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. Let's kind of continue that. We'll continue that conversation a little bit more focused on Texas during one and done. And then also got a couple All American teams. Did any Texas guys make the list? Who do I agree with? Who do I disagree with? This is The Horn.
I like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here. And he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
I need to stop singing that before I turn the mic on.
Yeah,
don't
be singing Pac, man. It'll get you in trouble.
Yeah, especially that one. Well, a lot of them.
Oh yeah, no doubt. That's among the most ruthless of the Pac songs.
That's a great Pac song.
It's a great Pac song.
That's why I chose it. It's one of my favorites.
A lot of hatred though in that song.
I like the anger, man.
Yeah, angry Pac is a fun Pac.
Because you know me, usually angry I don't Pac listen to that.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing. Most of my music is just fun.
That's true.
I don't want to think about it. Yeah. My hip hop is
You want the gangster, you want the hardcore stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, Chad's like that too. Chad doesn't like poppy hip hop.
Right.
Yeah, he wants the hardcore stuff.
Something
interesting.
About, yeah.
It's like what's the movie, Office Space?
Uh-huh.
Listen to Ghetto Boys all the time.
Right, yeah.
I keep my pistol point cocked. And every time somebody rolls up, he like turns it up. It's great. I love that movie. Anyway,
yes, sir. Austin.
Austin, right? Yeah, forget about that. Yeah, forget
Austin,
about that.
Austin, man.
Yeah.
All right, I got a lot to get to here. I'm going to finish up a little bit on the NIL stuff, how it could help Texas and even outside of football. But we got Caesar, who's a big fan. We appreciate him. He tweeted us and said, all caps, Rod, I'm a witness to Rod once saying 14 years old for Mila Kunis.
Okay, I'm not saying I've never said that, but usually...
Oh, the story changes.
Usually I say teenage boy. That's usually what I throw out there
right,
to describe
it's,
her.
It still does the same for us that are attracted to her.
I'm just saying, yeah, I understand. That's why I'm not into her, and I get why you guys like her. I don't get it.
But you don't because of how you phrase it. That
I don't
was the
get
whole
it.
Point.
But I'm not mad at you guys. You guys are good. Go
I'm
for it.
I'm not mad at you guys.
You guys love it. Good for y'all, man. Yeah, I just need a little bit more. I need some stretch marks and some grown woman stuff going on. Grown women got stretch marks.
I hope your wife's not listening.
She does not have stretch marks yet. She will one day. I mean, she can't help it.
When are you planning on that? After the sixth kid?
The stretch marks? You don't need,
I want y'all going Marcus Freeman on me here.
All right. Go start up, please. Start.
I told you that.
Start it up.
Okay. So with Texas, you know, I talk about the 11.7 a lot. The NIL stuff can really help out with baseball. And that's my question. Ooh. With sports like that. Hmm. If there are a couple money people that, what do I always say? You can really turn it around quickly. And I've given CDC credit for his hires, the softball coach or the women's basketball coach, mm-hmm. right? Those were really, really good hires. But it's easier to go poach from Oregon or Mississippi State in those sports than it is in football and basketball, and then baseball would be the third. Yep. It's usually in that order, with football, like everything, being light years ahead, yep. and basketball being yep. a good, solid second.
Yeah.
And then college baseball has gotten more competitive. But there are going to be some programs or some donors out there that think about it and say, well, we can really change our fortunes if we put together some money in this sport.
No, you're right. I totally agree.
Especially with baseball, where if mm-hmm. you've got 11.7 scholarships, you know, Austin Wood actually had texted me. He was listening to the podcast, and we were talking about how most people don't understand with college baseball, if you have 11.7, there are guys that won national championships that were All-Americans, like Austin Wood, he was an All-American, that were getting 20% rides. Now, that is complete unfair advantage mm-hmm. if someone can give you a full ride. There are guys that wanted to go play at state schools and said, nah, man, I ended up choosing DBU because I got to pay for school.
Yeah.
My parents don't have the money to do this.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I don't have the money to do this, so I had to take the full ride. That's where it's going to get really interesting. Not that it's going to be anywhere near the level of what we're seeing with Texas or some of these other schools. I understand that. You don't need that level, though.
No, you don't. I mean, in terms of making a difference, too, and we know some of these initiatives on the 40 acres, the programs, Clarkville Collective and Horns with Heart, they specifically said, no, they are working with all sports. I think it's starting with football, but they want to work with all the sports.
Yeah, because there's a volleyball player on that. Yeah. There is a basketball player, I believe, on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to work with all sports. This could really be a huge game changer.
But you're right, it could be more advantageous because it's less competition. It's so competitive in the football world. We know that, college football. But for other sports, not as many programs like to compete at a high level in those other sports.
Right. Wake Forest is going to create something for football. Is it going to be these two things for Texas or Nike in Oregon?
That's a great point.
No, but they're going to create that. You can create stuff when, like you just pointed out, a majority, 90% plus of your competition aren't in that game.
Yeah. I wonder if you can keep, like, you keep some of your golfers and, you know, because they usually want to go because they're going to make a lot of money or whatever. I wonder if you keep them around longer.
You've already kept college baseball players. Yeah. Ivan Melendez is a good example.
Ivan Melendez stuck around. He's like, compared to what I'm going to be
making.
Compared
to what I'm going to be making.
And where I could increase my value, now I'll go back because I can make some money now. And he's got a brand now, too, though.
He's got a brand.
That helps, though, too.
Yep.
I don't think did we pick a nickname for him? Was he going to be the Hispanic Titanic or the, what was it? What was the other one?
I forgot what the other one was.
I forgot what it was.
Hispanic Titanic just
it was nice. I
like
that one. Yeah, it was.
But if he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. Whatever. Hey, let's get some All-American teams. CBS and ESPN release their college football All-American teams. I want to have you guess on this.
Oh, wow.
How many, so CBS just does, actually, no, they do a couple teams, but just for their first team, offense, defense, special teams, how many Big 12 players were on their All-American first team?
Trying to think out of my head. One? One. No, one.
You nailed it.
Okay. Was it running back? Who was
it? It was not.
Oh.
It was not. I believe it was Malcolm Rodriguez.
Ah, linebacker. Okay. Actually, I should have said two then, because I thought one of the running backs would make
actually,
it.
No. He was on the ESPN one, so I take that back.
Oh, so nobody.
It was
Zero.
Brees Hall. You did hit it.
It was Brees Hall. Okay. Yeah. I thought one of the running
with
backs
Kenneth
might.
With Walker.
Because sometimes they put the utility backs or like mm-hmm. the whatever. I thought one of the, like maybe a Deuce Vaughn or a Brees Hall would make it like that. Yeah. So that's not surprising. That's the most talented position in the Big 12.
Is running it back is. It's what they were about, what their offenses were
exactly
about.
Right.
And we talked about that with the running back selection mm-hmm. for all Big 12 that, man, this is a year where it'd been easy, hell, to be the quarterback. But receiver, considering what you usually get with this league,
no,
it just wasn't there.
Wasn't there.
No linemen on offense or defense
wow.
on the CBS team.
Right,
yeah, it does.
In terms that says a lot.
In terms of the SEC, they had 9 guys on the first team, 13 total selections. Big Ten had 8 guys on the first team, 14 total selections. After that, the ACC Pac-12 had 3 each on the first team. Then American had 2, and the Big 12 had 1, Rod.
Yeah, I know the Big 12 has fewer teams. I get it. So people throw it out there. Yeah, but still, it does say a lot about the talent deficiencies. Not only at Texas. You know what? Texas is a big part of that. Texas has a hand in that when the Big 12 is underrepresented on All-American teams because Texas pulls in more talent than the rest of the Big 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And just loses that talent out of attrition at times, but also underdevelops that talent. A lot of the time, most of the time.
Wide receiver, I was telling you all year about David Bell
yeah.
and how good David Bell is.
I watched him. He's good.
He's good, right? David Bell's at Purdue. He's going to be a receiver. Probably not going to be a first rounder. I think that's where you're going to see your Garrett Wilsons. You're going to see Olave, and you're going to see probably Jameson Williams, guys like that. There's a couple others that are in that first round range, but Bell could possibly be. But he's going to be probably a day two pick that if your NFL team takes him, you're going to like what he brings to the table. Now, talked about Mark Whipple yesterday, who was the OC at Pitt.
Yeah.
Obviously did a good job. Got Kenny Pickett going after Pickett had been there what felt like for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Pickett now is getting first-round love, which you would have asked
no,
who your deal was if someone said that a year ago.
Somebody had the Texans picking Pickett.
I've seen that on multiple ones for weeks now.
Wow. They need to trade down.
I totally
agree. They
trade
down and get Pickett. Yeah, that's cool.
Totally, yeah,
but you
right.
You need to trade down.
I'm with you. They need to get picks, and they need to build the other way. But Whipple actually just took the job. So he left Pitt, resigned as the OC. He took the job with Scott Frost at Nebraska.
That. Wow. That's a move.
That is a move. Adrian Martinez is in the portal. He's gone.
So that tells me Scott Frost is looking at a different type of offense. That means he's like, you know what? My offense ain't working.
You
know, I need to bring in somebody else who can run my offense for
me. I'll give him credit. I need a fresh idea. Maybe that was something that he and Trev Alberts talked about when they restructured that contract. I like that restructuring, just like I like the restructuring of Jim Harbaugh's contract.
Right. Very similar.
I said at the time, and I think you were with me, I think you co-signed, Rod, what are you going to do if you're Michigan? Stick with this a little bit longer, see if it works. You know, the lack of patience we have in the college football world, we probably are missing some people that just needed to marinate a little bit.
Totally agree with that. I think you see that all across the board too, not just at Texas, all across the board.
So a receiver on the ESPN first team all American team is Jordan Addison.
Hey.
That was the receiver from Pitt that you've been talking about.
No, because and then Brandon Marion just got there as the wide receiver coach there. He's the guy that came from Hawaii with that go-go offense. I suggested, you know, Sark hire him when Sark was looking for a wide receivers coach, end up hiring Andre Coleman, or at least keeping Andre Coleman. He's the real deal, man. I wouldn't doubt if they're thinking about making Brandon Marion the OC there. And I haven't heard that from anybody.
No, I think that.
But he's such a fast riser. I think he might be the guy.
I think you're onto something. And just like you, I haven't read that. I don't know that. But it just makes sense considering Whipple to resign. Maybe he just had something set up with Frost. But if this guy's that good, and you should get online. Rod had us do that. Heck, felt like a year ago.
Oh,
and to go check out the Go-Go offense.
It's
just type in Go-Go offense, and you'll see kind of what they're doing. It's impressive. ESPN's list. No, we're short on time here. You've got two Big 12 players on their All-American team, both on defense. Funny enough. I mean, just another sign that the Big 12 has completely changed. The fact that there's two defensive guys. Malcolm Rodriguez at linebacker, the former wrestler, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jalen Petrie the safety at Baylor, who you and I both like and is a ball hawk, man. He just sniffs the football.
Yeah, Terrell Bernard, remember, he was considered to be the best player coming into this season on that Baylor defense. And now, by the end of the season, it was Jalen Petrie. He's the real deal. Perfect fit for the modern age of football, too. Can play in that back end and cover the slot, do multiple things.
Some guys that just need to be first team on every single list. Try and keep this quick. Aiden Hutchinson, Jordan Davis, Will Anderson, N'Kobe Dean, Devin Lloyd. Devin Lloyd is a great example of how Utah evaluates guys and then develops them. Devin Lloyd was a 2 or 3 star, didn't have many offers, goes to Utah and just got stronger and better. Instinctive guy, very, very instinctive, and I just love the way he plays. He's going to be a first-round pick. If you watched any of the Oregon games, specifically the Pac-12 championship, he's the one that had the pick six. Devin Lloyd is one of those guys. When I look at that, I think that's what I want my program to be, mixed in with paying 5 stars $150,000.
Hey, now. Safety in high school, too.
Yeah, spread, he was. Baby. Yep, he was. He just had to get a little bit stronger. Mm-hmm. He's a linebacker, though, that would have fit in perfectly with what Gundy's doing and a lot of what you talk about, Rod, being able to kind of evaluate guys. You know the feet are going to be there. Do they have the frame to put some strength on and to be able to take on physical blockers? Exactly. Something DeMarvion Overshown is still dealing
that's
with.
True.
Little potpourri there for you with one and done.
Nice.
Off the record coming up next. How does Jerry Jones watch the boys when he's not at the game? Or maybe he just does this when he's at the game.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the rain and comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. And this one is about Jerry Jones. Actually, I got it from TMZ.
And of course you did.
Yeah, Jerry Jones, you know, he loves being on TMZ. He loves to make the headlines. Actually, it originally came from 105.3 The Fan, but it was picked up by TMZ. And Jerry Jones was talking about watching football this past Sunday because the Cowboys had a Thursday night game. So they had the weekend to watch the rest of the NFL play. And they asked Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan, how'd you watch the Cowboys? He was asked about, how do you watch the games without the Cowboys playing? Now that you're sitting back, usually you're at the games in a suit and everything. You know, what do you wear when you're at home just hanging out watching the games? and he said, well, I've watched them in everything that you have and without everything that you have on as far as dress is concerned. That's my Jerry Jones.
Sitting there naked?
I've watched them in everything that you have or without everything that you have on as far as dress is concerned.
As far as, I like how we'll phrase stuff like that,
don't
too.
You love the way Jerry Jones phrases stuff? I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It really is.
Just say you're naked.
I think he is hinting that he watches games butt naked. That he's, just lets it all hang out. Watching games. I mean, he's a billionaire. Billionaires are eccentric. We talked about this yesterday.
I don't care.
Billionaires
do
all types of eccentric, crazy stuff.
You don't need to be watching. You don't need to be just sitting there naked.
Well, and hopefully by yourself.
Well, that's a good point.
Hopefully, if you're naked, you're by yourself.
Why? Hopefully, if I'm naked, I don't want to be by myself.
What about his wife?
Well, yeah. I don't want him to be there with the rest of the staff and
no,
the team.
I'm talking about if I'm naked, I want somebody there because the nakedness is more fun when it's accompanied with.
Well, I get
person.
That, but also like Jerry's not a young man where everything is fun and good looking anymore.
No, he's 79.
Oh man, you don't know his plastic surgeon.
Did he get his balls done?
Probably. He's a billionaire. You can get everything done these days. Come on. He's a billionaire. They're probably shiny and everything.
I've seen the face, though, and that's still
got
dragging.
Everything fully waxed, no hair.
Ugh.
All that. Did that gross you out? I waxed Jerry Jones?
Yeah.
Really?
Just sliding around on a nice leather couch?
Exactly.
Go back to your Mila Kunis take.
If you're going
to
be naked, you don't want to be a hairy naked. Otherwise, you want to be like... You're going to be naked all the time.
I know, but Patrick's point is that 79 naked is 79 naked, hairy or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean,
just drinking a beer, watching the game. None of it seems like it's a good mix.
Right.
I'm not a fan of being naked, period, like just for no reason at all. My nakedness always has a purpose.
It always has a reason.
I'm a reason to be naked. I'm not just a naked guy.
I'm going to feel like a real silly goose if I pop up to cheer a touchdown naked. Like, that's, you just got to feel when you're jumping up and down, like, good score, I'm naked. This seems wrong.
Have you guys ever sat just naked on a couch and watched TV?
No.
I feel like I did when I was a much younger man.
I think so too.
Not even after intimate relations do I do that. After relations, if I'm gonna go watch TV, I'll put on something.
I feel like I did it the first time I lived by myself. Like the first time you live by yourself and you're like, I can do this, so I'm going to, and then you go, not what I pictured.
I think the first time when I was a kid when I was alone in the house, probably.
Man, I've just never been a big fan of being naked. Some people are all about. I had roommates who slept naked. I mean, Chris Sims will sleep naked. Some people just sleep.
How'd you know that?
I don't, because he's my roommate.
Okay.
I mean, he's my dorm mate or whatever. And he said, well, you learn your dorm mate sleeps naked.
You do.
Exactly.
You do.
Right, going there.
I was trying to trap you, but
no,
yeah,
you don't want to learn that. You're like, bro, are you okay? You know all what? Right. I'm out of here. That's just the way he slept. And some people sleep like that. I've never been that person.
Did he stare you down on the way there?
No. People who sleep naked have no shame. Okay. That was a joke about an interception, wasn't it?
It was.
Ah, damn it. Come on. It was unnecessary. Yeah. I shamed the man enough saying he sleeps naked, and you're going to throw in a pick six joke in there.
Well, we already knew what I said, though. You're the one who's dropping bombs here.
Man, there's no shame in sleeping naked. I don't think you would care.
No, there isn't.
There's nothing shameful about it.
I'm close to naked. I don't sleep with a shirt or socks on.
I sleep with like a t-shirt on. I got to sleep in cotton, too. It's weird. I sleep in cotton, like a cotton shirt.
Boxers, that's it.
Yeah,
and I've definitely slept
the
naked.
Briefs, the boxer briefs,
yes,
for sure.
Boxer briefs.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of being naked. Like, I don't even, when I run, some people run without a shirt on. I always run with a shirt on. I'm not a run shirtless.
Well, what if it's really hot outside?
I run with sleeves on and pants on no matter what time of year it is.
You don't run in shorts?
No. I run in pants. Have you seen me in shorts before?
No, I don't think I ever have.
Exactly.
I've never seen your legs.
I don't wear shorts.
You're the opposite of Sims. I can't see anything. You don't give me any skin.
I don't. Even when I work out, I wear like pants. It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. See, so I'm not a naked guy. I don't like to be naked.
Patrick, you a naked guy?
No.
That was quick.
See? No, yeah. There is no point where I think that's a good idea for me or anyone else involved.
You don't enjoy it, and they're not going to enjoy it. Yeah. No, I agree. What did Elaine say about the male body? It's utilitarian.
Yeah, it is.
It's built like, it's like a Jeep. It's not built to, it's not something that is, artistic like the female form.
It's not a sports car.
And Rod, if you're a white guy, you pretty much have to make sure that you maintain anything with some sun coverage if you're going to be showing it off anywhere, or it is just pale.
That's true, too.
So unless you're keeping up maintenance of tanning, then it's just even worse.
Man, I didn't even think about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, do you tan everywhere? You got to tan all that?
I don't tan anywhere.
No.
I just turn out the lights and hope for the best.
Right. She's just going to have to deal. She's going to have to deal with the color change.
She's going to deal with the color
that's
change.
That's it.
I guess that's why you don't manscape then. You just
don't
cover it?
No, you still manscape.
Still manscape?
You still manscape.
Good. Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm just
You can't feel the tan.
Right. Having a forest down there doesn't help that out. That's the position we're in.
That is true. That's why if you're going to be naked a lot, you definitely got to manscape.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. You need to make sure that's trimmed up. You're just going to be walking around naked.
And Jerry probably has someone do that for him.
Oh, he's rich. Yeah, he definitely does. Yeah.
And you may be right about the ball tuck.
All that stuff. He doesn't manscape down there. He has somebody that comes in and does that for him. That's a team. No, I'm serious. Wouldn't you, if you were a billionaire, I'd have a team?
No,
I would help. I would help like, feed the children.
I'm gonna be like coming to America. If I was a billionaire, that would be clean and it would be waxed. Everything.
I did like the baths.
Exactly.
I did enjoy the bathers. All right, man. There's some Jerry Jones news for you. We got off the record number 2 coming up. The world's largest edible. That'll be at 5:45. Rod's rant at 5:30. Back to Quinn Ewers coming up next. Texas will be hosting him tomorrow. Tech with an in-home. Maybe somewhere where the other top quarterback transfers are predicted to go. Texas looking to upgrade the quarterback position. We'll get into Quinn up next.